You say that, Father? You aren't afraid, are you?
No. But I respect some of the superstitions of others. Often they are founded in fact.
Broadcasting live from our Sanctum Sanctorum in Venice, California, this is the Sixth Sense Society. I'm your host, Krista, here with our producer, Michael, and today we're thrilled to have on our show Jackie Smith, also known as Aunt Jackie, and she's the founder of Coventry Creation Candles, a witch, a wife, mother, teacher, author, and rebel rouser. She recently started a podcast, Curse Breakers, with astrologer Storm Sestavani. And today we are going to be talking about clearing and cleansing magic. And this is our last show for the year and our last show at Sunset Masonic Lodge for the foreseeable future. But before we get started, Michael has a few announcements.
Hi, everybody. As Krista said, this is the end of an era for us. We're coming to the end of our fifth year, and we're going to be reformatting the look of our show. So it's going to look a little different when we come back in January. Part of the changes, we'll have a new day. We're going to be doing it same time, 1 o'clock Pacific, but on Wednesdays instead of Tuesdays. So make sure you adjust your calendars suitably. And we're going to come back the 3rd of January will be our next show. So with tons of stuff on our website about whatever guests we have that we'll be booking and so forth. The first one will be a Spell It Out with Krista, and then we'll kind of get into the new year from there. But we're very excited about the changes and really happy you guys are going to follow us. So go to our website, as I said, buy us a coffee on Ko-Fi, look us up anywhere on Facebook or anything like that. But the most important thing, go to YouTube, click like and subscribe. And that really helps more than anything. So I don't want to take up too much time because this is going to be our last show. I want to spend it all with our guest and not me. So with that, take it away, Krista.
Great. Thank you, Michael. And welcome, Jackie.
Thank you for having me. I feel this is very auspicious and I'm very honored. I love being on your show. And I always love hearing what Michael has to say as well. So chime in, friend.
Yes, definitely. We get that request a lot more. And we've taken more photos of him too, which that was also a request.
He does exist.
Yes. So let's get right in the topic, which we both feel is very timely, having talked before the show about it, the whole idea of clearing and cleansing magic. And maybe start with sort of maybe some broad definition of how you see that kind of magic.
Clearing, excuse me, clearing and cleansing magic is when there's something in your way. I think a lot of times our need, our magical need is whatever the deficit is. Oftentimes it's because we got in our own way, or there's a lot of energy around us that doesn't vibe with what, doesn't sync with what we want to manifest. Mm-hmm. So for me, I look at the clearing and the cleansing is the first step. You got to make room for what you have coming in. And sometimes once you clear your intent just shows up because you're ready for it.
So it sounds like you might combine that with other kinds of magic in general.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a method that actually Storm Sestavani kind of came up with my Coventry Magic Oracle cards reading. That's a different story for a different day, but we're working on them and how would we use them magically. And he came up with an REM method. I mean, that's easy to remember because, you know, sleep patterns, but remove, energize, and manifest. So what do we need to remove? Because you got to make room for what's coming in. And what are we going to energize and focus on? And then from that, removing that and energizing that, what is our goal for manifesting? Mm. And so it is a big part of what I do. Before I do any work, I clear.
So could you give us some examples of both simple clearing and maybe more complex clearing?
Absolutely. So I will use, there's the basics of like Wicca 101 when you're supposed to clear your space, cleanse your space, to make sure there's nothing left over that's going to interfere with your magic. So that's something that I do for myself personally, clear my mind, clear my space, clear my intent. We have the sprays that we make. So I have some room sprays to help shift and clear that energy. Mm-hmm. And I'll use a feather fan or sometimes just a broom and just move that energy around. I love another quick way I do for clearing. So I move my furniture. You move your furniture around and all of a sudden things unlock that have been held in space, held in that place. And you're like, wow, it feels so fresh in here. Mm-hmm. How many times you move your couch to the other wall and you're like, wow, it feels fresh and light in here. What's going on? So I move stuff. That's another way of clearing because just think about dust that settles on something. And when you move it, the dust kind of gets off. Hopefully you dust it too, but it's kind of like a spiritual dusting. Get all that old stuff, that old dirt, old energy off of it. Another way, simple ways I do clearing is in the shower. Cause you're getting clean. So like you can do some double duty there, but, letting the water run over me, visualizing it, allowing it to ground me. Like I visualize like the water going down the drain, going to the center of the earth and I get grounded from there. And there's something that happens. I see this over and over again when one gets grounded and connects with that, their root chakra with the center of the earth. It opens up for all of the stuff that you may have been hanging on to or energy that's not yours that you might've walked through. It just, when you ground, that just automatically whooshes down, especially if you focus on it to let it go.
I love the part about the water, the shower, because it's something very simple that you can do, you know, whenever you shower. I love that part.
If I'm really struggling, you know, sometimes you get into this point in your life where you're in a big growth pattern, and growth doesn't mean easy. Sorry. Growth means the opposite of easy. It's kind of painful to grow. And so I will fill my, run the shower and plug the drain and let it fill a bit so it covers my feet. And then I put Epsom salt in there.
Mm.
And then I'll shower, wash my hair, whatever. And then the Epsom salt starts to pull the dissonant energy off of you. It attracts all that stuff.
Yeah, I was recommended, two different people recommended just salt in bath in general. One was a pranic healer when I was going through what I call psychic hangovers. And I would just be really, really tired from readings and nothing really worked. And it was this pranic healer. He was really good. And he said, well, just take a salt bath, put like a half a container of any salt, but make sure you dunk your head, because all the nerves in the back of the head. And it worked. It was crazy, that salt. So that was one I remember. And I did that for quite a while in my 40s. I just to clear the psychic debris from doing reading.
I learned from some pranic healers how to make salt water. And some people in the health industry call it soul water. So you just keep adding salt until it stops dissolving.
Oh.
And so it's a really heavy salt content, almost like seawater salt.
Right.
And using that spray in the room on anything, it just clears all the energy out. Other things, like when I'm cooking, times when I'm cooking and I'm getting some fresh herbs, rosemary is one of my favorite cleansing herbs.
Mm.
Cause it helps clear the mind. If you don't clear your mind, it gets stuck in there. That's why we were talking about mantras earlier, when you're talking about doing the mantras, that is so amazing for clearing your mind. So keeps that primal part of your brain busy. Mm-hmm. So the rest of it can just kind of unwind like a top. But rosemary helps clear the mind, the things that are stuck in there. And so if I'm cooking, I'll save a couple pieces of rosemary and just hang them up in the kitchen or somewhere else in the house to clear that up. Here's a great house clearing that I learned a long time ago, and I've done this, and it's the most simple thing in the world. So you take buckets, make sure they're clean buckets. Like if you use them for cleaning, clean them, fill them with water. You need two, one for each hand. Mm-hmm. And so you fill it with the amount of water that you can handle carting around. And you take those clean, cold buckets of water, especially if there's been arguments or negativity in your home, or you're maybe you have a dust up for a minute and you want to clear that energy, you just take that cold, clear bucket of water and you walk through your house.
Oh.
From the back or from one end to the other, ending at your main door that you go through.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk it right out the door and you walk it right off your property line and you just dump it.
Mm.
It works. It is amazing how fast that works. You don't need anything but you and water.
So what was the other bucket for?
Well, you have one in each hand. Oh, so okay. They keep you balanced. So you're carrying right. Both the buckets.
So it's two buckets and you just walk through starting from, sounds like, the back.
Yeah.
So you end up through the front or the main door.
Yeah. So if you mainly come in and out of the back, you would start at the front then go out.
Okay. It's what door you use the most, not which. Yeah. Okay.
The door you use the most. And the reason why you have two buckets is this is especially good if there's been arguments or disagreements or people aren't syncing. It's because you have two sides.
Ah.
So you clear both sides, clear the emotions.
I love that. I had a friend in when I was living in Woodstock, and she'd study with Lakota, and that idea of clearing after arguments and stuff, she literally would take out sage while it was just over and start smudging everything. I've never seen anything like it. It was the first time. It was like in the 90s maybe, or even earlier, 80s, and nobody ever did that. And she was so relaxed about the whole thing.
I love that.
But it really stuck in my mind, that idea that you have that, you know, like just like you said, you clean the dust, so you clean the psychic debris too on a regular basis.
And you know, and people forget how clearing grounding is. I want to go back to that piece. It's so clearing. And I enjoy beginning classes. I take beginner's classes in different modalities, even though I've grounded a million and one times. I teach grounding, whatever, but I'm taking this class from this different teacher, has a different take on stuff. And he's starting with grounding and I am loving it. I'm loving his simple approach to grounding, you know, because it's just find your root, make it wider than you are, send it to the earth. That's it. And I'm like, it can be, oh, that's right. It can be this simple. I don't have to go through the bedrock of all. I can just say I'm grounded. And he talks about grounding a room or grounding a building, or if you're talking to another person, you can just ask for their root to grow, ground them because you're grounded.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, I forgot about that stuff. Cause as we get more and more complicated, as we get more and more into our magic or the different things where I'm going to do this personal ritual that involves all of these things. And we're like, oh, and I'm going to pull in the astrology and I'm going to pull in stones. I'm going to pull in this. Well, when we start to get up here with our experience, we forget here at the base of like the basics. And I love taking basic classes because I learn so much.
That's a really good idea. And I think that's probably what drew me into witchcraft initially. For one of the things I liked was, at least at the time, I felt I could do anything and I could do something simple. And I was coming from a very intense Tibetan Buddhist background, which I'm glad I had the training, but it's very complicated. And I remember really enjoying just doing basic things. And it worked. I mean, I found like going back to the basics with anything is always good, but definitely with magic.
Yeah. And then, you know, some other basic things is I'll go into the yard and get yard rocks. Just maybe it's the gravel driveway or something random in the dirt and use that for cleansing because it's there outside. And these are natural, they naturally pull things off of you when you ask their permission first, actually. and then I just sit outside with them and I'll say, will you take this from me? Will you help clear this or this obsessive thought or, and it just keep it simple as that. Of course I have my favorite, polished stones and tumbled semi-precious. Whew, love those. Little babies that you touch.
Thanks. Yes.
They're pretty.
Yes.
And that sometimes you just need a good old fashioned rock that you're going to just put back in the garden. But you know, I want to talk about things that you clear. And it first starts with you. Mm-hmm. And I did talk earlier, is like, if you don't clear your mind, you hang on to everything. And one of the ways that I deal with clearing my mind is I remember that when we don't have all the facts in something, we naturally fill in the blanks.
Sure.
So we create a story. Oh, well, so-and-so did something. Well, they walked by and grunted, you know, they must be mad. And so then you start filling in these blanks. So the first thing I do in my clearing is I pull up all of the things that I don't have all the information of, and honor the fact that I may have created a story mm-hmm. to fill in the blank. And that story is created based on my past experiences with maybe them or someone like them or a situation similar to that or the unknown. And then I clear that, I give that back to my past. Like, no, that's not today. So like, okay, I know, like I just did it today in a conversation about something. And I was just telling Krista and Michael that I crashed my car a couple of days ago, completely 100% my own fault. It was me, my car, an empty street, and a utility pole. I mean, I just didn't turn far enough. I sneezed. It was a thing. I wasn't present. And so, in dealing with all this, it's like, there's all these stories that I created and I hurt myself too. So it wasn't bad, but I'm recovering. But I started creating all these stories. I was talking about, I don't have car rental on my insurance. And so I started going into this huge story about why this is, I got to rent a car, I get this, we got to find the money for this, blah, 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 blah. And then I said, well, wait a minute. I don't know what they're going to do with my car. So I just filled in all these blanks. And so I started getting really worked up. I started feeling bad. I bruised my ribs and those started hurting even more. I mean, all these things were happening. And I said, wait a minute, I'm creating a story around this that doesn't exist anymore. Mm. I'm going to be in the void of knowledge for this entire week. It's going to take this long for them to decide what they're going to do with this car. And as soon as I honored the fact that I'm creating a story, I started calming down. I started feeling better. My head got clearer. And then I could think again. And then I've been working on clearing the trauma, which is another interesting thing. Like, so you clear your mind and then you can start to clear your emotions and your body. And I've been spending the past, let's see, this happened on Friday. So it's been the past 4 days clearing the trauma of this mm-hmm. because it's so weird because I'm turning left. I didn't turn all the way. I was a little distracted in my head, but then I had this huge sneeze that was happening at the same time. And I don't know about you guys, but when I sneeze, I get a full body sneeze. Mm-hmm. And then next thing I know, OnStar is saying, we've just detected a crash. And I'm going, holy shit, that is just what happened. And so I'm all scattered. My energy scattered. Your energy goes. Phew. And so I have all these emotions and stuff that I'm clearing around it. And then clearing my body and getting back in my body. But I really had to clear a lot of trauma.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're all right though.
Yeah, me too.
That's
me too.
The main thing.
I don't even think I was going 10 miles an hour, but I think I totaled my car. It's ridiculous. It's embarrassing, but I'm sharing it with everybody because we do stupid stuff.
I dislocated my knee in my apartment somehow by jarring my foot against the bike as I was turning it around. I don't even know how I did it. It was the craziest thing. I wasn't even on my bike. So somehow the pedal hit my knee, the right spot. I was just I wasn't paying attention. And I said, I mean, who does that? I think we all have those. I was just glad it wasn't worse too. But you know, we all have these things where it just, who knows why we did the accidents happen. I mean, you just have to accept it's part of being human, I think.
Yeah. Well, and then the next day I'm talking to a friend of mine who is very spiritual as well. And two different people said, I sense that's a really weird, a sneeze A distracted moment and a sneeze caused a car crash. Like you can see, it took the picture of the car and you can see the driveway I pulled out of it in the picture. It's just a walk across the street. And so I sat down and I said, okay, I need to do some clearing on this. No one's out to, and I did a reading and I was like, no one's out to get me. This is a message. And that's a lot of times when you want to get clear. So I always talk about there's five types of healing that you do, or excuse me, five types of magic that you do. There's prosperity, protection, love, healing, and clearing. And people, and everything falls into that. And one of the, my favorite challenges that people say is like, well, what if I want to develop my psychic powers? Where is that in that? So to what purpose or why do you think you are stopped? Why do you think you need magic to develop your psychic powers? Or what are your psychic powers for? They're like, well, I just don't see as clearly. And I'm like, well, that's a cleansing. It's clearing. What's in your way? What fear, what belief, what limitation do you have in your way? And then that's do that clearing work. And your magic just works better. Can you, I have the saying that you don't want to get some brand new socks and wash them in dirty water.
I like that.
You got to get rid of the dirty water. So clear yourself, and then your magic actually works a lot faster.
Michael had a good comment about sometimes things appear negative too, that can turn into something positive. Very Sufi-like story. And so in a way, you want to let the story unfold.
Yeah. Yeah. It that was very profound when you were talking about that, Michael, because sometimes you're just things feel really negative because you're clearing and you're making room for the next thing. So if you flow with that, just get in that flow. I know right now, so many people are challenged with inflation, with shifting economy, with shifting shopping patterns. This is real. Mm-hmm. This is 100% real. And when I lean back and I say, okay, what is the message and the lesson? And what I get back is we have to clear away an old way of doing things to make way of a new way of doing things. So if you get into that flow of the change that's happening, because change is another clearing.
Mm, yeah, well. That's a good point. And then, yeah, I'd like to talk a little bit about how to clear, at least to have maybe some impact on a bigger level. I'll give you an example. So let's say your neighborhood changed its, you know, characteristics, and it was once a pleasant, safe neighborhood. And then let's say you couldn't move right away, but it became much more of a, you know, dangerous neighborhood, and you just wanted to offer some protection for it. Do you feel clearing would be a good way of reckoning with it? Just trying to clear off so that you're not really interfering with things. You're just kind of trying to keep things clear.
I love that you brought that story up, because that was my story about 15 years ago, 16 years ago. I moved into a neighborhood in Detroit that was like 14 years prior to that. This is a long story, I guess. It's been around for a minute. But we had lived there for 14 years. When we moved in, it was a neighborhood growing. Families lived there. I loved being part of the Renaissance of Detroit. And the last 3 years we lived in that Renaissance, I'm sorry, lived that neighborhood. It went from an owner's neighborhood to a renter's neighborhood. It was like a little gradual change, but that last year specifically was really hard. And we were broken into almost monthly, or attempted break-ins almost monthly. And there wasn't cash to move. So what I did is built some protection. But sometimes that spiritual protection is not going to be enough. Mm. Yes, there was a lot of attempted break-ins. And but the thing is, that was still happening. They didn't get in all the time. They got in three times and cleared us out completely. So the protection only went so far because I was still in a dangerous situation. Mm-hmm. So what I continue to do is clear mm-hmm. my connections to the house. clear, talk to the spirit of the house saying, we got to go. I'm sorry. This is not safe. So clear my roots, clear my fears around moving, clear my vow or my belief that I really wanted to be part of the Renaissance of Detroit. Mm. I just had to clear all of these things that was keeping me stuck. And as I cleared those things, I found a house to rent in a different city. Mm. It was very close to my business. So instead of driving half an hour to 45 minutes to the factory, my drive was 3 minutes.
Wow.
And the woman who rented to us, we look a lot alike. And she loved me. And she loved my husband. She loved my daughter. And she goes, I want you to have this house. So I'm bringing the rent down by $200 a month.
Wow.
So you can have it. So this is me clearing obstacles, clearing, opening the road to a road opening is clearing, by the way. It's a combo pack of clearing and prosperity and opportunity. But road opening is very clearing, clearing the path or opening the road to the same things, say different sides of the same coin. And so I just kept opening that road, clearing that road so I can get there.
I love that story.
I literally lived it.
That's amazing. Yeah, I guess and then it sounds like too, like any other magic, you want to be open to what happens and maybe not stuck on, well, I want this to happen. And instead you know, you might have something better than what you thought. It seems like it's okay to want certain things, but be open to other things that are even better.
I remember a story when I was early in business. It was we were in business about 5 years, and this woman wrote us a letter because that's how long ago it was. People would write things to each other on pieces of paper and put them in the mail. So she literally wrote us a note saying, "There's something wrong with our prosperity candles because they don't work, but the Needed Changes candle brings money to her all the time." So the Needed Changes candle is a clearing candle. It's also called banishing back in the day. So banish away what's not working, but boy, that worked for her to get money every time. And so I had to ponder on that. So it's still fairly new in this world. I'm like, well, maybe there is something wrong with my prosperity candles. And so I just kept thinking about this. And so I was trying it like, okay, well, what if I use this instead of this? And then I realized, oh, she had some big things in her way. It's again, that's this clean socks and the dirty water. It's hard to bring in prosperity when you have something in your path. So that's when I really started playing with the fact that we need to clear before we attempt our big spell, our big ritual, big manifestation. And I'm watching. The other thing that's fun is I've been taking these other classes from people who are not in the spiritual magical world. They're more coaches, manifestors, mm-hmm. things like that. Mm-hmm. And I gotta tell you, they start with clearing your beliefs, finding your beliefs, clearing your path, clearing your beliefs, understanding who you are. Because if you start to manifest something with that same belief that you have, or the same way of being that you have, you're going to bring something to you and you're just going to do the same thing. It's like the lotto winners, right, people that win big buckets of money, but they live a life of paycheck to paycheck. That's their understanding, their belief, their energy, their way of being. So you get all this money and then you're going to bring yourself right back down to paycheck.
Sure. Cause that's what you're used to. You believe in.
Yeah. There's this one guy who's talked about it's your money thermostat is set here instead of here.
Mm-hmm. I still have mixed thoughts about manifestation, particularly around illness, because I when I was younger, I wanted to be a healer. I had this thing I was going to be. I did Reiki and I was super idealistic. I mean, you wouldn't believe how idealistic I was. I was not going to charge anything and I was going to be this healer. And I was very affected by certain people that were real healers like that didn't charge. And then, you know, as I got more into the New Age movement, they're saying, well, everything is a manifestation of your beliefs and thoughts. And yet I'd also met very profound healers that sometimes say that your body just needs something physical. Like there was a story of this Native American that gave a woman a cure for cancer. And he said that sometimes your body just is missing something, and that mm-hmm. for every illness, there's a plant that exists, or a remedy that we, that's why you don't want to destroy the rainforest too. We don't know about these remedies. And I also met a woman who's could see angels, and she's from Ireland, and she's a really cool lady. And she said she felt sad that people believe that every illness is a manifestation, and sometimes you're just ill. And I think I've come to the conclusion that it seems to be in the middle when it comes to at least physical health. Like there's some things people just need antibiotic for, or, you know, they just need, and it goes away and it doesn't interrupt their life. And so that some of the manifestation people, that idea of clearing your beliefs, I don't know. It seems a little simplistic to me in terms of it actually working for everything, certainly working for some things.
I'm with you on that. When I'm talking about manifesting something, I'm saying, I want a car. You know, I'm going to get this better job. I'm going to become, you know, I want to grow my business to this, or that kind of man, or I want to bring new love in my life. And if you have some real deep core beliefs that say, I only date losers, or no one's going to hire me. I mean, like, you got to find, working on those clearings, like trying to get out of that house. I didn't realize I had this belief and like this vow that I made to stay in the city of Detroit and love it and all this stuff. I had to dig deep to find that, because that was a belief that I had that was keeping me from being able to move on. And it's like, it's really weird how that belief manifested. I would just not look at available opportunities. I would cry and whine about it. And then I would do more protection stuff to try and fix my neighborhood or whatever, instead of going, hey, you know, if the universe is knocking me on the back of the head going, it's time to go, lady.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I definitely believe that, like, tangible things like a car and a house and that is something that manifestation does. It does seem to work. I mean, from what I can, every time I've really tried to do something where I really wanted something better in those areas, it does work.
I have a very deep seated knowing. It's not a belief. This is a knowing that allopathic medicine is a gift. It's with everything, there needs to be balance. But if my leg is broken, I ain't praying it away.
Yeah.
if my body decides it doesn't know how to deal with my pancreas goes, nope, I don't know how to do insulin right anymore, I'm gonna need the type 2 diabetes medication.
Yeah.
It's not. I don't believe that that's a punishment for believing something. I mean, it doesn't always happen like that. I mean, I'm in this reality right now where I'm working with a nutritionist, and I'm doing a lot of elimination to see what my body does and does not like to process. And you know what is sad to me, and I'm getting over it, is grains and cheese are just, they're just not, my body doesn't know what to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't. So if I keep giving it that, but there's the belief that I should be able to eat anything I want because I want to be like everyone else. But the reality is my body goes, lady, you don't do well with that.
That's a really healthy view of the body. One of the things I learned when I was going through sort of a very difficult hormonal time was I couldn't drink even one glass of red wine. I would literally vomit. And I didn't have a problem with alcohol. It was my hormones. And so rather than fight it, I just said, okay, I'm just not going to drink it until I can. And so, you know, one of the things I've noticed with aging is it's certainly good to go get support, believe me, for your health. But your body actually does know a lot if you actually allow the wisdom of the body to say, hey, Krista, this is not agreeing with me anymore. And it's no judgment, but hey, you know, my body does have natural wisdom. It knows, just like when you were pregnant, you know, the things that you crave that are good for you. It does that all the time, but I don't think we're trained properly to listen to it and to realize, like, it fluctuates. Like, there might be periods where you can't eat much meat, and there might be periods you actually can eat more meat. I know someone that happened to, actually. They actually had to eat a little more meat And she had been meatless for years, years and years. And she only would have a little bit of chicken, organic chicken, but it changed her health dramatically for the better. Mm-hmm. So I thought, wow, we just have to learn to go with the flow, even with, you know, the clearing of nutritional issues, you know?
Right. That's true. But you know what? I want to pull one more thing in here that you may or may not agree with, but let's talk about it. Is the clearing of societal programming. So I'm sitting there, and the nutritionist I'm working with talks about the food industry and the programming from the food industry. And so there's an assignment that I got to watch the commercials and watch the ads and what's the subliminal messages. And I'm like, holy mackerel. Like, it was a fast food chain and the people excited about bringing in the fast food to feed each other, they were all slightly overweight, but all the people serving the fast food were super skinny models. And I went, oh, that's interesting. And then I started like making a little tick mark for every commercial like that,
mm-hmm.
like for the Oreos and the this and that. I'm like, oh, I see this, but that's only one of the societal programmings. I talk a lot about in different groups of people about, with you and I, with our age, we're still battling the societal program of what it means to be a woman. I don't know. Maybe you're not anymore, but.
God, no, I'll be for the rest of my life. There's so much programming that I don't even know what's me sometimes and what. Like one thing for me is I wasn't programmed to do housework. My mom didn't want me to. We didn't even have to clean our room. And I like doing it now. And I have had a hard time. I don't want to do it all the time, but I actually kind of enjoy it to ground me. It's one of the things that gets me out of my head. And I felt so bad that I'm a working woman and I'm okay with housework. it's weird opposite programming too. But the whole thing about nutritional programming, I'm 100% with you. It's crazy because Michael, you know, he healed himself from type 2 diabetes. Rarely does anyone do it through nutrition like he did. And so he was so strict on not having carbs and, we just watch the commercials about diabetes and it's just so awful. Like one woman is just so happy and she's very, very overweight, which is an issue if you're diabetic, by the way. It isn't if you're not. And she's not even worried about it, but she's so happy she has type 2 diabetes. And we're like, it was not a happy time for us. It's like, she's way too happy, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, you know, it's kind of like just going over and not dealing with the root of the issue and where you almost have, Michael sees it, that carbs are like an allergy, a dangerous allergy for him. And so even though now he can have some, at that early stages, he couldn't have hardly any because it affected his blood sugar. And this was, you know, kind of years and years ago, but he had a very serious issue. And so I agree with you with the societal programming from all levels with nutrition and having to clear out, you know, your beliefs about them. And again, probably that is something that isn't easy, you know, like, because you can always, find also charlatans on all sides, you know, people that promise things that cure nothing.
Right. Yeah. And it's a personal journey, but I just realized that there's all these beliefs that I had, like, I should be able to eat like everybody else, or if I can't eat like anybody else, it's a failing, or I'm fat, so I have a total failing on that, and all these different things. And so there's so many, beliefs that around, like this one I'm working on real hard right now, Krista, is I have to be nice.
Oh yeah. That's a good one. I'm working on too. That one is. Yeah, that one is, well, that's definitely ingrained into women still, I think, because it's still like, if you don't even smile, you're somehow mad at people.
Yeah. It's like, so, don't be mean. I have to be nice. And, I have, you know, the co-care taking thing. But so if I am working on boundaries and protection and I don't work on clearing the, I gotta be nice programming that I have, then my protection and my boundaries are going to be ineffective because I'm going to continue to break through those with this belief that I have to be nice.
Right. So it is interesting to take this idea of clearing and cleansing from sort of a very basic level, which is still, I find, really effective, by the way, into something more complex as to beliefs and what society wants us to do and be. And I think for many people, it's a lifetime journey because we're also evolving in terms of our own interests and who we are, like clearing our own beliefs about ourselves so we can be open to the new you that maybe when you were younger, you really loved to travel. And maybe when you're older, you just want to stay home. And
it's awesome. Yeah.
You know, that we also have to visit the ones we've chosen, the beliefs that were helpful and healthy. And one of the things that I've recently decided, I don't know, it's taken me, okay, I started Buddhism in my 20s. I realized I've always been in Buddhism. There's a group of people called the sort of householders. And they can become enlightened by dusting and cleaning and doing mantras. And their stories of them, and they're not really supported. And I realized I've always been a householder. I mean, I've done retreats. I even was going to do a 3-year retreat, but it just didn't fit into who I wanted to be. I wanted to be in the world. I wanted to have a marriage. I wanted to have a life in the world. And all of a sudden the other day I said, I'm a householder. It took me so long to feel like, you know, I kept thinking like, I better go do more than I'm doing, you know. And I said, I'll do the mantras when I can, and it's all part of it's in the teachings. It's just not talked about a lot, you know, that there you can become enlightened doing anything in Buddhism. You know,
so there's this toxicity that we get into of self-judgment. That toxicity is I'm less than, or I'm not as good. And then that we start to find mirrors to that in the world to remind ourselves to clear it. And then we start judging everyone else. And usually what we're judging everyone else on is what we're judging ourselves on. And, because for whatever, like it's very important for whatever reason. And that's a big clearing, that self-judgment piece, that toxic, I'm not good enough, I'm not enough, I'm not something, is another big thing of clearing. So clearing goes in a lot of different levels. And I find that if you just continue to remember, if I'm going to bring this thing to me, so I want to clear the path, including my own BS, so it can come to me easier.
It's true. And I think it's okay if it takes a while to figure out what you need to clear. Like you were saying, sometimes you have to dig a little harder to find out what is the particular belief. And then it might seem really obvious, you know, like, oh yeah, why didn't I even think of that? You know? and so, I mean, that to me is something I've learned getting older, kind of a patience with things. Like it's okay. I even went through a period where I just hated everybody, and I was okay. I was patient with myself. I realized I was also just really, really exhausted. And, you know, sometimes exhaustion makes you want to just kind of pull away from everything. And so now I know if I'm starting to just hate everybody, I'm just really tired and I need my own space.
Yeah. When I start to get depressed, I'm exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really
song.
Tired. I've been doing a lot. And then I need to figure out the ways to refill for me.
Yeah.
And that was me this past summer. I didn't want to really do much or do anything. Cause I was one of my challenges, I was dealing with a lot of toxicity in my life, not just my own negative thinking or my own self-judgment, but there were some pot stirrers in my life that we're like, I'm not stirring the pot. No, who else is? Somebody else is stirring the pot. Mm. And they're really good at it. And I thought I was going crazy. But I'm like, I'm not crazy. I need to remember who I am. And so that sometimes when you're filled with toxicity in your life, it's because, well, yeah, you want to clear that, of course, but it's because there's a big change the clearing is big. It's a big shift, transition, evolution. Mm. And if you think about even evolution, is it involves clearing before you're evolving into the next thing. You're shedding something, that's snake that sheds its skin, to get bigger. But, I couldn't, I had a hard time when somebody was really toxic or narcissistic or whatever, borderline maybe, is that they want to keep everybody in a state of confusion. So they get fed on that energy, or it brings them joy or whatever. It's just really frustrating and unfortunate. But then it's always, I find that it's usually when it gets that big, it's usually an opportunity to be, to move yourself into the bigger bowl, as it were. You know, goldfish will only grow as big as the bowl that they're in. So it's time to get a bigger bowl so you can grow.
I love that. It makes a lot of sense. It's sometimes a little hard when you're in the, if you have a lot of toxicity that can like overwhelm you. In the moment, it's a little hard sometimes to see it. Oh, you know?
Heck yeah. It took me a year. It took me a year to figure out what was going on because I forgot who I was and I allowed myself to second guess myself. And then, here's what I did is I started doing clearing on myself every day. When I said I was going through a really long period of challenging time, that's when I would put my feet in the Epsom salt water every day. I did that every day for, 3 months.
Wow.
Just cause I was so confused. I was so like, what the hell is going on? Cause for me, it came out of the blue.
Yeah. Yes. Those things can come out of the blue. Absolutely. And those are the more tricky things. And I don't know why I think getting older, I'm going to somehow get to this point where that's not going to happen. But honestly, you just go to the next challenge. I'm like, okay.
I really think that there's people who feel that they not only do they enjoy this, they feel it's their job to stir the pot, to challenge people, because everyone's a little complacent. So they're going to come in here and stir the pot.
Right.
And of course, you know, growth comes from that.
Right.
And it's all in the mindset, like that big change is happening. And I had to say, okay, either I'm failing, this change is happening because I'm failing, or this change is happening because I'm growing. And if you feel this change is happening because you're failing, then you're going to believe that. And then that's the thing that you're going to focus on. And that's what's going to manifest, what we focus on grows. What we pay attention to gets the energy. But if I say this change is happening because I'm about to grow, if I know it feels like a failure, but it's the arrow, it's the pullback so I can go further. So if I focus on that, then there's always an opportunity for growth in there.
Yeah, it does matter how you start to perceive what's happening to you at some point. You know, you perceive it as, I remember I was just listening to something on Robert Greene's Instagram the other day, was talking about when you're in a difficult situation and how even by, instead of like sort of, you know, giving into it and thinking it's bad, you say, okay, I'm learning something. I'm learning that I'm dealing with this person who's a narcissist. I'm learning that I cannot stay in this job. And so here you're kind of greening things. He used the word something about greening it. You're kind of watering it and you're not succumbing to it in a sense. So even though it's still difficult, it's your perspective on it that helps you get out of it.
Right.
And so he's a realist, which I like about him, is that you don't ignore the problem, but you're not giving it power. So that's when I learned a long time ago that that's what it means to give power to someone is, and then you feel that kind of, instead of saying, okay, I'm still, you know, me, and I still have choices I can make.
Yeah. Yeah. It's remembering who you are. You're a powerful being.
Yes.
And you have that power. There's something that we talked about pre-show, which is a warning. So when you're clearing other people, you want to clear other people out of your life, or maybe they're being toxic, intrusive, negative influence on your life. And you're using, like, I have a bitch be gone. I have a GTFO. I have, you know, the banishing, that type of thing. The warning is it might happen to you too. So I've watched it happen both ways. Like somebody used the the Wicked Witch Mojo, Be Gone candle and oil, and sometimes the GTFO Saturn candle. And I've watched it where it's like, perfect. It worked the way they wanted it to. But almost as equally, I've watched it work where somebody is saying, okay, you got to get out of my life. And then they realize, but I got to get out too. I got to get out of this story, this play that I've written. And they move on as well. But if you let go and you kind of like go with the flow a little bit, what is the universe telling you? What is your magic? What are your spirits telling you? What's happening? Like, hey, if all signs are pointing to get out yourself, then that means that you have an open road to get out.
Right.
So sometimes when you clear enough, when you're clearing a negative situation in your life and you keep clearing and you go, oh, I got to go. It's not just you. You don't have to get out of the house. I got to get out of the house. And again, it might feel like a failure, like you're failing, stepping backwards, but really you're creating an opening for a better opportunity.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, magic does work in its own ways a lot of times and maybe because of that, when I was younger, I think I mentioned before the show, I wished for patience one year and it was a disaster. And it was a really hard year. And I just didn't think, of course, I'm going to be challenged to be more patient. And it was, I think I could have done it a different way, you know, maybe instead of it so radical. So I have learned, I'm a little careful with if I was thinking about the whole clearing other people from my space. And at this point, I don't feel good personally doing anything but things that affect me or anything that would put my loved ones in danger. I have no trouble doing, like if it's something where by birds, someone's trying to, but I'm careful with because of what you said, it sounds so innocent, the word cleansing and clearing, and it is complex.
And I think one of the best, the most powerful things I've done this many times with different people that have been in my life and it was time for me to get out of their life and them to get out of mine is I asked for them to be blessed to go on to something else. Stop paying attention to me, go on to something else.
Right.
And that allowed me, because if I'm going to like really hit somebody hard with energy, I imagine it like this, like if I'm going to throw a really good punch, yeah, I'm going to hit them in the nose and break their nose, but my fist is going to hurt mm-hmm. too. So there's repercussions. There's repercussions on myself, no matter how much energy I push at someone, it's my energy pushing someone. But if I let them go and ask for them to be blessed for something new, that's going to take them in a new direction, that's me letting them go. There's not the repercussions there.
Well, that brings up an interesting concept of being a certain archetype and using magic. So what you described with the punch is a warrior archetype. And it reminded me of this book by Pablo Coelho, Warrior of Light. And he has this great story. He says that every warrior has a sword. And that's part of being a warrior. And he said, just remember, though, whenever you draw your sword, for whatever reason, it's always a fight to the death. And I got to tell you, that changed my view of drawing my sword. I was like, oh, okay, do I really want to fight to the death with this bus driver, you know, with an argument? Right. And I just loved the way he put it. And it's like, so then you decide, nah, that's not worth drawing a sword for, you know? There's like no in between with warriors. They go into battle or they don't. And so what if you're an archetype of a healer? I'm wondering if, you know, like, do you, you know, favor certain magics, or sometimes maybe you should go outside your comfort zone and try the other kind of magic. You know, maybe the healer needs to try a warrior magic.
Interesting. I haven't really thought, I mean, I really vibe with what you're saying. And I've looked at different archetypes, but not in that specific thing, but I never really understood what my archetype is, because you know what? I don't care. I'm just going to be me.
Well, it's definitely only one way to see things. I'm not sure when, I mean, maybe because I read a fair amount of sort of people that studied Jung when I was younger. So they were always talking about archetypes. And then of course the tarot archetypes. And then I got interested in, you know, female archetypes, the healer, the teacher, and the warrior, and how, you know, different women, and men have this too. And so to me, it's a good way to try to understand how you move in the world if you have one or two archetypes that come naturally to you. And it doesn't mean you can't try on another archetype.
No, true. I'm like, you're making me like want to dig back into that. It's been a while since I looked at the archetypes and I was like, I don't know, maybe not me, but, I also, was just going to go and do my thing anyway. And
definitely you can even still do that within the idea of an archetype. I mean, sometimes you can use astrology as part of it, but I found for me, it was very helpful because I am a warrior archetype to understand why I got frustrated with certain things and why I tended to act the way I do. And so it was just very, you know, it was Michael actually helped me to sort of, it was very obvious I had a warrior archetype. I mean, I fenced when I was younger. I was always speaking up, but I was also very shy and I was a Cancer girl. And when I was younger and very sensitive. And so you don't really see that as a warrior necessarily. And it just helped me to navigate my world better.
You're making me think of something else. I have a client who I think is a warrior archetype because there's a battle in everything.
Yeah, warriors, they need to know when not to battle. They need to, they over battle.
Thank you. It's time to dig into the archetypes again and understand that next layer. Cause if with, to understand myself and as also, you know, when I have different clients come to me, but I love the idea of you can try on, I think trying on different archetypes is healthy because you don't want to get stuck in a groove. You might have another part of you.
Yeah. I think I actually learned that from one of the goddess books a long time ago about sort of an, you know, having sort of an exercise where you embody different archetypes of different goddesses just to see what it's like. And maybe there's one you're not familiar with, but you're really good at too. You know, that's your, you just didn't realize you were a really good teacher, you know, like, Michael, he likes to talk about three major archetypes in the tarot, the teacher, the warrior, and the healer. And it's really interesting, the theory he's come up around that. And then, like, I noticed he's a very good teacher. Like, he didn't really even see himself as the teacher archetype, but he's always the one teaching the tarot. He's very good at it. And he teaches, you know, things to anyone, you know, that's interested in learning about something he knows. Mm-hmm. So I think it's those three main ones can have branches, then you can have sort of that go with them, but that's a good starting point. We think, we are getting close to the end, and I did want to give a shout out to your new podcast, Curse Breakers, and it's on YouTube. Is that right?
Yep. It's on YouTube. And, I believe it's, we have an audio version as well that you can find on all the platforms, but, I do this podcast with Storm Sestavani. We used to do Keep It Magic together for a bunch of years. And then I was one of his co-hosts on Psychic Friends Live. And we have he's one of my dearest friends. And I love our conversations that we get into. And so Curse Breakers is all about, there's a lot of different ways we curse ourselves in our lives. But Storm and I are the Curse Breakers. So we just kind of dig into a subject and figure out how to unravel it and talk about it. On the spiritual end in real life, like our, we did a show, two shows on Lilith and that, the goddess and how she's from many different angles. She's just a very, very powerful being. And then we're going to be doing it. We took a little bit of a break as life changes happened to both of us. And we're going to start a show. I think our next show that we're going to record is about what is toxic positivity?
Ooh, I like that. That's a great topic.
Like, what is it? I mean, people talk about this toxic positivity and I'm like, I don't know. That's a bright side. So we're going to talk about what toxic positivity is. So we're going to like pull up different subjects that are really top of mind for a lot of folks. We also like to bring in pop culture and you know, 21st century craziness into it.
I love it. It's a great title. And maybe we'll have you back on in the new year and talk about more about the podcast too.
We are winding up. For those who know Storm Sestavani, he did not put his face out there in the world. He refused. And this is a video podcast. So you get to see and see his lips move. No, it's a real Storm Sestavani. And we have a good time.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for being our last show. We really enjoyed the conversation as always.
The last show for 2024.
Yes.
Or 2023.
2023, last show for 2023 and last show.
Last show in general.
No, no. And last show at the Lodge. But no, we're looking forward to the new revised show. So we look forward to seeing you all next year. And join us as we continue to explore the esoteric and the obscure together.